2 Corinthians chapter 8. We read these verses last time. We'll read some of them again tonight from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That's just another way of saying we want to remind you about these churches and God's grace bestowed upon them in a particular area. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Then I want to read verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And then finally, in chapter 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful, and as the word is, an hilarious giver. And then finally, verse 15 of chapter 9. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. The subject in these two chapters, as we indicated last time, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, is giving. It is money. Particularly, Paul is emphasizing a particular need that had arisen in the churches. A church in Jerusalem was in dire straits. He was involved in raising money among other Christian churches for the people of God in Jerusalem. And to encourage and in order to exhort the Corinthians along those lines, he mentions two examples. He mentions the example of the Macedonian Christians in the first part of chapter 8. And more importantly, in my opinion, he emphasizes the giving of the Master Christ. This is a key verse in these two chapters, in fact in the whole of the epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Here is a wonderful example in giving. And giving should never be thought of as something mundane. It should not be thought of in carnal terms. I mentioned last time the whole idea that the giving of God's people is a sort of a tax that God puts on them, so that you calculate down to the penny 10% and you give that to God because you have to. It's a tax that you pay. It's a totally wrong conception of giving. You see, the giving that Christians do to God is to be done from a heart of love. That's the key to it. And we know that the giving that is mentioned here in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ is rooted in sovereign, eternal love. It's because of his love that the Savior died for us. The hymn says, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. And that's something that Paul mentions here as an example for all Christians. Everything that we do should be done out of a heart of love. The Lord loved us, and we are to show that we love him by our willingness to serve him, including in this particular area of stewardship. The church at Corinth was a congregation that was somewhat lacking in its giving to the work of the Lord. That's why Paul introduced this topic as he did. Now, there's no doubt they had given a promise that they were going to contribute to the need of the church in Jerusalem. And Paul mentions that in chapter 8 and in verse 10. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, the word forward is a Greek word that simply means willing or ready to do it. He said you were ready a year ago, but verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. So don't just talk about it, but actually get round to doing what you said you were going to do. That's the import of Paul's words. To reinforce what he's saying to the Corinthians, he sets before them, as we noted last time, the example of the Macedonian Christians. They were liberal. In other words, they were very generous. When I say liberal, I mean generous. And to their power, and beyond their power, he says in verse 3 of chapter 8, they were willing of themselves. In other words, their giving was sacrificial. And Paul sets them forth as an example to the church in Corinth. The churches of Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi were renowned for their liberality and their charity. Those are the churches in view when he says the churches in Macedonia. They weren't rich by any means, but they gave till it hurt, to the utmost of their power, and they gave, as we read it here, beyond even the apostles' expectation. And they contributed far more to that fund for the Jerusalem church than he even had dared to hope for. But the great thing about the Macedonian Christians was not only that they gave of their finances, of their money, but they actually gave unto the Lord themselves. And so their giving, their financial giving, was just an outworking of their spirit. Their whole attitude was, everything that I have belongs to God. Everything that I am belongs to God. My life is not my own. And so I will freely give to the Lord of that which he has given to me. The crowning element in their giving was exactly that of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's mentioned in verse 9. And that is self-surrender. Self-surrender. And it's really encapsulated in the words of verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. This they did. In other words, the giving that they did, the money that they contributed, the fund that they gave to, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And isn't that the greatest gift that you could give to the Lord, or I could give to the Lord, is ourselves? Perhaps I've given the illustration before of a church in which the offering plate was being passed around by the usher, and there was a little boy in the church, and he took the offering plate from the person beside him, but he held on to it, and then he took it into the aisle of the church and he set it on the floor, and then he proceeded to stand inside it. And he looked up at the minister and he said, I haven't got any money to give to the offering, but I just want to give myself to the Lord. That's a tremendous thing. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. And obviously in the context, Paul is motivating these Christians in their giving by the example of Christ. The Lord Jesus gave himself in a vicarious sacrifice for sin. And if ever there was an argument for giving everything that we have, not just our substance, not just our money, but giving of all that we have, it is our Lord's sacrifice on Calvary. He gave his life a ransom for many. He took my place and died for me. O precious Lamb of Calvary, he took my place and died for me. What an example the Savior sets before us of giving. He gave himself a ransom
for many.
We know the text, don't we, concerning the Good Shepherd, John 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And it's no wonder then that Paul exclaims in this context here, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We cannot describe the gift that Christ is to us. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. As well as this vicarious sacrifice, and Paul mentions it here in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, there's also the vital salvation that they experienced. See, the whole thing about the giving of the Macedonian Christians that's set out as an example to the Corinthians is that it was given from a heart of love. People who loved the Lord. I think there are sometimes people who will give to charitable causes and even give to churches because they think it's the done thing. Or they might get a tax break as a result. Now, I'm not opposed to people getting a tax break if it's legitimate and it's lawful. I'm certainly not opposed to Christians giving a gift to the Lord's work instead of giving it to Uncle Sam or to some other government to waste and to fritter away. I think it's always going to be a better thing if you can manage to give funds to a work of God or a worthy ministry. But I hope that our giving is much more deep-rooted than that. It's because the Lord has saved us that we give to him. It's because the Lord has redeemed us. It's because he has loved us and actually become poor for us that we might become rich spiritually that we give of our means to him. Sometimes folks give of their time and energies to foolish things. Sometimes they can give their time and energies to good things, but perhaps their hearts are not really in it. Remember that verse in the Old Testament, in the Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. That's what God is looking for. God wants our hearts. And there's really no merit, we know, in being involved in a church or even giving to a church or giving your time to the organization if you've never been saved by God's grace. If we don't give ourselves to the Lord totally and fully, then he's not going to be accepting other offerings from us. Before ever thinking of doing anything by way of service for the Lord, financial or otherwise, we need to make sure that we've received Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. So before the Macedonian Christians tried to do anything by way of giving gifts to the Lord's work, Paul points out that they presented their own selves to the Lord. See that in that verse 5? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. The Lord brought them to himself in mercy and in grace, and they freely gave themselves to him. They served the Lord not by compulsion, but voluntarily. Look at their voluntary service. Look at verse 3 of chapter 8. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You know what willingness is? It's the opposite of rebellion. Being willing to do something is to say, yes, I'll do that. I can remember as a child being asked to do things by my parents. And sorry to say, I didn't always react in the right way. Sometimes my mum would say, now, go tidy up your room. And the room looked perfectly okay to me. But if truth were told, it was a mess. And I needed to lift up those things. And I didn't need to have six or seven pairs of shoes all lying across the floor. I just needed to have 6 or 7 pairs of shoes in the closet. And maybe 1 pair under the chair if I was going to go out in the morning. Tidy up your room. And then I would sometimes not openly say something to her, but under my breath, don't want to tidy up the room. Because that's what kids do, and you shouldn't. But we do. Now what's wrong? What's wrong is that we're not willing. We're not willing to do what we should do. And when you apply this to the Macedonian Christians, Paul says they were willing of themselves. In fact, they were willing beyond their power. In other words, if they could have given more to that fund for the Jerusalem church, they would have done it. If they could have. They were willing. Now look at verse 12. We mentioned this last time, but I want to mention it again. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The Lord's not looking for what you haven't got, but he's looking for you to be willing to give to him what you have. And that doesn't just apply to money. That applies to everything. Giving ourselves in a voluntary service. Are we serving the Lord to the best of our ability? Are we doing our best? There's a hymn that asks that question. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Have we? Now this is our reasonable service. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think about what the Lord has done for you. Think about what the Lord is doing for you. Think about what the Lord will yet do for you. Is it reasonable for you to hold back your life from Him? We shouldn't need to be pushed and prodded to serve the Lord. We shouldn't need to be driven to do the things that He tells us to do. Are we giving voluntary service to Christ? We have been saved to serve. And the Lord has every right to demand that we serve Him, because He's bought us with a price. Have we given ourselves? Are we giving ourselves freely to Him? We sing, don't we? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Do we mean that? Or do we just sing it? We are to be like Christ. The Lord Jesus gave Himself freely for us. We are to be like the Macedonian Christians, because to their power, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Paul says this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. They not only gave themselves to the Lord in commitment, but having made a total commitment to the Lord in response to His grace, they also gave themselves over to the church as the ambassadors of Christ and His servants in total availability for whatever the will of God might be for them. They were dedicated. They were utterly and completely dedicated to the work of God. Can this be said of us? Can it be said of us tonight that we don't do what we do for the Lord just out of compulsion, but because His grace and the thoughts of that have captivated our hearts? I love the Spirit when someone comes and says, is there something I can do? Is there some way that I can help? Please tell me, and I'll do it. That's the Spirit that we ought to have when we come to the Lord. Lord, wherever, whatever, however, help me to do it. May we be such servants of the Lord. That's really the message of these chapters, by the way. That's the message of these chapters. That there might be a performance of that which we have promised to do and of that which we are called to do by the Lord. Yes, the subject is basically giving to the church at Jerusalem. There's a lot of things that Paul has to say about that, and when we get into chapter 9, we will see that even more. But it starts here. Paul's exhortation to liberality and to giving is really rooted in what Christ has wrought for his people. And when we think about the cross, and we should think about the cross, and not just when we're at communion, could we not say, but drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Lord, help me to be willing to serve Thee, because Thou hast done so much for me. And this, finally, that Paul mentions here, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. We should not understand from this that this is a one-time shot, that this is something that we do just one time. We come and we give ourselves to the Lord and that's it. No, this is an everyday thing. This is a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week thing, that we constantly are rededicating ourselves to the Lord. Now, you don't have to run out to the front of a church to do that. Some preachers give people the impression that that's what you have to do. You have to leave your seat and come to the front and kneel down at the front there and be counseled by somebody and rededicate your life afresh to the Lord. No, that's something that you can do and I can do day by day, moment by moment. Lord, help me to be better. Help me to serve Thee with more passion, with more desire. Help me not to do what I do just because it's the done thing. And we will, of course, be reminded of that in chapter 9, verse 7, that even giving is not to be grudgingly or of necessity. Well, you know, we do this because that's what Christians do. Now, may the Lord help us to serve Him from our hearts. That's a message for me as much as anyone else, that my heart might be in the Lord's work, that my heart might be in, whether it be study or the preaching itself or counseling with people, whatever it may be, that it might be something that's done from the heart, a heart of love for Christ, because I know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for my sake, just to personalize it, He became poor, that I through His poverty might become rich. May God help us to serve Him with all of our hearts. Amen.